blessing. You've got a handout on your seat there, and Miss Stephanie put those out. She's gloved and put them out to you just in case you were wondering or worrying. And I know that it's utmost important to us to be safe, and we thank God for the opportunity and the wherewithal that He's given us to do that. And just in case you're wondering, of course, we did have the service here yesterday for Miss Judy Matney, and everything was sanitized after that. And so we just want you to know that we're taking every precaution that we feel is necessary to keep us safe, and we're thanking God for the folks joining in with us in that. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse number 32, it talks about us having an inheritance. Acts chapter 20, verse number 32, we'll start there, and then I'll contrast it just a little bit with a verse over in Luke. But Acts chapter 20, verse number 32, the Bible says this, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." The Bible talks so many different places about this inheritance. Contrasted with Luke chapter 12, verse number 15, the Bible says, "For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Now, when we think about inheritance, we usually think, wow, we're waiting for that uncle to die. I think all the uncles that I had a little bit of hold out of hope for are gone. And so now I'm just waiting for somebody that I don't even know, but they knew me from afar and they just liked me for some reason. We think of inheritance in that way. We think of inheritance that somebody had done really well and they want to leave something to different people, and that's certainly an inheritance. But we think about the possessions that we're going to leave our children. We think about what was left to us, if anything. We think about it's a bad thing to start planning toward getting something. Boy, as soon as that fella, boy, as soon as he leaves, woohoo, party on. We don't want to do that, because sooner or later the tables will be turned. It'll be us that people start looking at and start figuring out what they're going to do after we're gone. But you think about what was left to us, but more important to those questions is our spiritual inheritance. And the Bible has a lot more to say about that than it does those physical ones. Although it does talk about that, it talks about leaving things to your children, your children's children. There's a very biblical concept to do that. But the more important one we look at tonight is the spiritual inheritance. And we think about the song that we sing in the Sweet By and By. But you understand the inheritance that we get through the spiritual gifts that God gives us, the spiritual blessings that He gives us, they're helping us right now. I think about folks that are looking toward heaven, and I certainly am. I'm thankful for it. But not only are we blessed by a home in heaven if you're saved tonight, but you're also blessed by the peace that home in heaven you see in on the future horizon. You're blessed with peace because it already settles your soul now, because that's where you are going. You know when something's taken care of, and you know well that it is taken care of, then that gives you a little bit of a rest in your soul. And so if we can trust a lot of people with some physical things, then we certainly can trust God with our soul, and we understand that not only is that spiritual inheritance, that wonderful land called heaven, good for us then, I would submit to you it's good for you now. Because we understand that salvation that it brings is not only what we look forward to, but it's also what we have now. So let's get into it, if you will. We're going to start in Hebrews, and Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to look this week and next week, Lord willing, into this aspect of our spiritual inheritance. And so in Hebrews, we see chapter 1, verse number 14. Let me find my place here. Hebrews 1, verse number 14. The Bible says this, "Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" The Bible talks on up in verse number 13, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?" And God, you understand, is the Lord of all. He's God of all. Some people say, well, you need to make Christ Lord of your life. And that's true. You do. You need to come to Him as your Savior and Lord. Yes. But He's Lord of everything, whether anybody admits it or not. You understand, it's not that we're not, or he's not dependent on us to confer with him about who he is and then say, yes, we do believe you're God, the Lord of all. He's Lord of all. If you go to your grave denying it, he's Lord of all. And so he's Lord of the angels. He's Lord of all the creation. He's Lord of everything. And then it goes from verse number 13, talking about those angels, to verse number 14. It says, are they not all ministering spirits? Serving spirits, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? You understand that the angels, not the heirs of salvation, but those that of us that can be saved, those were the heirs of salvation. And so they are ministering to us. And the Bible is clear that from different places in Scripture, God had used the angels to deliver message, had used angels to protect people, had used angels to lead, guide, and direct in different ways. They are the ministers. They're ministering to us. We're the heirs of salvation. So you may be having a big inheritance coming from a rich relative, and I pray you do. That's wonderful. I hope it sets you up in some different things to help your financial status. But better than that, we're the heirs of salvation, meaning that we are the recipients of that. Now, we don't have to wait till anybody dies to receive it either. We're the heirs of that salvation that God has given to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. We have salvation from sin available to all. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we have salvation to heaven available to all as well. You understand, it's two sides of the same coin. We're saved from our sin, saved from the penalty of it, and saved from hell. But we're saved to a wonderful place called heaven. It's not just that we escaped the punishment, although we did. We also enjoy the wonderful aspects of heaven. So we're the heirs of salvation. As one old boy said, we've got it made in the shade with lemonade. I mean, we can't get anything better than what we've got. We're the heirs of salvation. If we live a pauper's life from now until the time we draw our last breath and we go to heaven, we're sure sitting pretty. And so we understand we're the heirs of salvation. And so that spiritual inheritance that God gives us cannot be surpassed or cannot even come close to anything else that we get to enjoy. But we see not only are we the heirs of salvation, but if you turn over a few chapters, chapter number 6 of Hebrews, the Bible talks about us being the heirs of promise. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 17. Wherein God... Hebrews 6:17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, the permanent character of His word, if you want the permanence of that, confirmed it by an oath. You understand that as it's talking about, he's exhorting people to be the maturity of the believers in those verses leading up to this spot. But here we see God more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise, that's us, the heirs of the promise of heaven, the heirs of the promise of salvation, the immutability of His counsel, meaning the permanence of what He does. He confirmed it by an oath. You understand, the promise of heaven is sweeter to me and sweeter to us as believers, because we see more and more people going over there. The church here has seen several in the last many months. And so in our own families, we see people there, and we understand that the heirs of the promise of heaven means more to us now than when you were a 12-year-old kid or 11-year-old kid or 8-year-old kid or whenever it was that you trusted Christ as your Savior. You, under maybe a Sunday school class somewhere or at your mother's knee, you said, I do want to ask Jesus to be my Savior because I want to go to heaven. But the older you're getting now and the more things that you see and the more difficulties are in this life and the more schemes and rascals that you encounter, you look and you see all of that that's shaky ground, and you see the promise of heaven. You see the heirs of the promise, that's us. We're the heirs of the promise of heaven. And my friend, we're in a win-win situation. We are in a win-win situation. Say, how do you mean? Because if we live down here, then Jesus is with us. And if He takes us on, then we're with Him. He said, never leave us nor forsake us. That's on this side. And then when we go to be with Him, as the Apostle Paul was used of God to say, we are far better Philippians chapter 1, I believe it is, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having desire to part and be with Christ, which is far better. And I think all of us, most of us in here, you've lived long enough to realize that it is far better. Oh, I remember the days, and some of you all do as well, when you were coming up to milestones in your life, when you were getting ready to get out of high school, and you said, Lord, I want you to come back, but I'd sure like to finish this up. And then when it got time to get married, say, Lord, I want you to come back, but if you wouldn't mind giving me a few days to experience that, I'd be grateful. And then kids came along, and same thought, and now I don't have anything left. Get old and retire with Amy, and that's wonderful. No offense. We got the redhead graduated. We got one more to go, and we've hit all those high spots, and praise God for it. But then you see, the older you get and the closer you get to heaven, you see how silly it was to even think that anything down here would begin to compare as you look in the Word of God and you see about being the heirs of the promise of heaven. And then as you look at the immutability, big word for just mean God doesn't change. And when God promises us something, you know, somebody did leave you something in a will somewhere. If there's some attorney, that's from an opposing force, may do all that he can to try to prove that that person that wrote that wasn't in their right mind, and that promise doesn't go to you. But you don't have to worry about that with God. The immutability, big word for he doesn't change any. When he says it, he'll do it. And so we understand that we are heirs of the promise of heaven. I heard a story once that John Rice, a true story, that he had a gun pulled on him. And as he had the gun pulled on him, somebody didn't like what he was preaching. John Rice started the Sword of the Lord back in 1934 and in Dallas, Texas. And so he was coming out of a hotel where he was staying, and somebody didn't like what he was saying. And he shoved a gun into him. He told him he was going to kill him. And later, I can't imagine he was so bold then, but he said he was, I don't know. But he said, you can't threaten me with heaven. Funny aspect of it. So they said John R. Rice had a pretty pot belly, and that's where the gun was pointed. And the guy said, I'm going to blow your brains out. So I guess that's where his brains were located at the time. But he said, you can't threaten me with heaven. Now, whether that was something he wished he said, and later he said it in his mind, and later he said it verbally, I don't know. But truly, I'm not looking forward to dying. So many times it's involved with pain, and I don't like that. I spend much of my life trying to avoid it. But we understand that I'm not afraid. And I know that most of you aren't in this room afraid either, because of the promise we have. We understand that God's been so faithful up till now that he's going to be faithful in this promise that he gives. We're the heirs of the promise. We're like pets. You know, people talk about teachers' pets or children or parents' pets. Well, yeah, he's a pet of that father. That's who we are. We're like the favorite child, and that God just shows his blessings upon. So we're the heirs of the promise of heaven. We see not only that, if you look over in chapter 11 of Hebrews as well. Hebrews 11, verse number 7, in that great hall of fame of faith section, talking about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, Sarah, and all of those. In verse number 7 of Hebrews 11, the Bible says this, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, we know that, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Verse number 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please him. We understand that we're the heirs of righteousness. And how does righteousness come? Righteousness comes by faith. For by faith are you grace you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. The Bible says in verse number 1 of Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And without that faith, in verse number 6, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so you understand, we're the heirs of righteousness. Do you understand what that entails? I'm sure you don't. I know I don't. But we are in the righteousness of Christ, clothed in his righteousness, or else we'd never be able to make it to heaven. And so we are heirs of that righteousness, the righteousness that only Christ possesses, yet we're able to get in on that or be heirs of that because of the faith that's required to be seen as righteous. And God gives that faith, for by faith, grace are you saved through faith. And we understand that He gives that as well. And we see that we're the heirs of righteousness. And so as Noah was in the ark of wood and saved those family members that were in there, then we in the ark of safety of Jesus Christ to the saving of our souls are the heirs of righteousness. You don't get your way to heaven just because God said, wow, I'd like for those ones to all go. We get our ticket punched to heaven, if you will, when the things that kept you out of heaven get taken care of. And so we've heard the story of salvation so much that it just seems routine or rote to us and just seems so easily overlooked. But friends, remember this. That there's no way you can get to heaven. And there's no way I can get to heaven. Because in the works of our righteousness, no one can. And so that's the beauty of being the heir of righteousness. Because here we get something just like you get an inheritance of something you may not have deserved from some family member somewhere. You didn't work for, somebody else did, and you got it passed on to you. Their work, your blessing. Their savings and scrimping and all that, your blessings, their fortune, they're passing on. So they're letting you be the inheritant or getting the inheritance. They're letting you be the recipient, I should say, of that. So you're inheriting what their work was. We'll take that same scenario and look to Christ, Christ the Holy One, Christ taking the sins of the world. His righteousness is what's required to get into heaven, but we didn't work for it. We didn't work for it, yet He provided it. And so I get the benefit, just like I would of an inheritance of a certain monetary sum. I get the inheritance of something I didn't work for. Somebody else worked for it. Somebody else got it given to them, or got it through their ability. Somebody else achieved that success, and they gave it over to me as a kindness, as a whatever. They allowed me to be the recipient. Well, Jesus Christ is the righteous. He is the way, the truth, and life. We know all the verses. He's the holiness. He is God. His work was then allowed to be inherited by me. And so there's a lot more than just, hey, did you pray and ask Jesus to be your Savior? That's how it happens, yes, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. But there's a whole lot more that goes into it. Thank God we don't have to understand it all, or we'd all be in trouble. We don't have to understand it all. It's just as simple as it was when I was a kid and you were a kid, that you know Jesus, you hear about Him and He's the Savior, and you want to be your Savior and you ask Him to save you. But there's a whole lot of things that all of the theologians in all the world right now can't begin to chip away at the significance of it, even in all their intelligence. But what happens is, what Christ had that we didn't work for, He had it supernaturally because of who He is. It got gifted, or it got received by us as an inheritance of righteousness. We became, at the end of verse number 7 that I already showed you, we and became heir of righteousness. And so, my friend, our spiritual inheritance, our spiritual blessings that got poured onto us, just as if you'd inherited a fortune from some family member, that they worked long and hard for that, they gifted it to you. Christ, who possesses all the fullness of the Godhead, bodily rests in Him, He gave us salvation, and we became the heir of righteousness. I still don't think we understand how big this is. Because when God the Father, the holy judge, I am holy, be ye holy for I am holy, the holy judge, looks on you, if you're a believer in Christ, He looks on you through as simply the righteousness of His Son. Because I'm the heir of that. I don't think we get it yet. You know who you are, right? You know what you've done in this life, right? You say, well, preacher, I'm pretty good. No, you're not. I'm not comparing you to your older brother. You know who you are, right? You know those deepest, darkest thoughts that have gone into the recesses of your mind that you would be embarrassed to anybody to know? You and I know, you know who you are and I know who I am. And if you're saved tonight, that's the person, you are the person that's going to heaven. But in order for that to happen, when the righteous judge sees you, he's going to have to see you as righteous. You say, preacher, we got a big problem. I know what I've done, and I know what I've done. But I have become the heir of righteousness. Christ had it. I didn't deserve it. He possessed it, and he allowed me to become the heir of it. So I've cleaned up pretty good. You haven't cleaned up much at all. You say, I'm better than, or you may be better than you used to be, but you didn't start off too good. And so we are the heir of righteousness. We are the heirs of salvation, Hebrews 1. We're the heirs of the promise of heaven, Hebrews chapter 6. And we are the heirs of righteousness. Look over one more spot before we close tonight. Romans chapter 3, verse number 22. Romans chapter 3, of course, talking about salvation, up, down, one side, the other. That's Romans 3:10, Romans 3:13, all of those. Romans 3:23. And most of us know Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But look back in Romans chapter 3, verse number 22. I'll read you verse number 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. You want to see how bad you are? Look at the law, look at the prophets, and we'll see how bad we are. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We use verse number 23 as we witness to people, and well we should. But look at the end of verse number 22. It is saying there's no difference. All of us are lost and are undone. And the righteousness of God, back in verse number 22, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. So that, my friend, when it says the heir of righteousness in Hebrews 11, verse number 7, takes you to Romans chapter 3, verse number 22, and talks about the righteousness of God, which is what we have if we're ever going to get to heaven. You see, sometimes we think, well, it's so good that somebody's going to church, and I'm glad they are. Somebody got baptized, and I'm glad they did. Curtis Sutton used to say that going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sitting in a garage makes you a car. We need the righteousness of God. And in order to be an heir of righteousness of God, then that righteousness must come from Jesus Christ. And that doesn't come from saluting and giving allegiance to who He was. That comes instead by receiving Him as who He was, the Savior, and your Savior personally. So we are the heirs of righteousness, and that righteousness is the righteousness of God, which without the righteousness of God, we will never enter heaven. Friend, our spiritual inheritance. If somebody leaves you $2 million and you've got to decide what to do with that, you are blessed. But I can give you a better inheritance than that, or I can tell you about a better inheritance than that, and that is the inheritance of righteousness. And I pray tonight that if you've never received that heir, or if you're not an heir of righteousness, that you don't fool yourself into thinking that there's any other way to one day be in glory than to become that recipient of what you didn't earn, to become that heir of righteousness. Father, I pray that you bless us now as our prayer. And Lord, here we've closed our first Bible study since being back in your house. And Lord, I pray for everyone here tonight that they would do some soul searching. I'm not asking them if they're church members. I'm not asking, dear Lord, if they've cleaned up their lives well. I'm not asking them if they grew up in a Christian home. I instead, dear Lord, I'm asking them if they're an heir of righteousness, if they have received the inheritance of salvation from God, what they don't deserve, and they'll be recipient of the righteousness of God, which is required to go to heaven. Lord, I pray that you would convict every heart in here that needs convicted. Lord, I pray for every person that possesses, that they are the heir, the recipient of that salvation. Then, dear Lord, I pray that their heart is, I pray their soul is doing backflips inside of them right now, thanking you for allowing them to be the heir of righteousness. Lord, thank you for myself for that. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed as our piano player begins to play, and we'll not have a come forward invitation, but here's my question to you. Are you an heir of righteousness? Are you saved tonight? Was there a time when the transaction was made that you received Christ as your Savior? You received the heir of righteousness, you became the heir of salvation, you received the inheritance of righteousness, I should say. You say, preacher, I did. I know that. I may not remember the date, or I may remember the date, but it happened. I know it did. I remember the time. If that's you tonight, then your soul ought to be doing backflips. You ought to be thanking and praising the Lord for the inheritance of righteousness that you've got. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not sure that that's ever happened. You know a lot of the lingo. You're here on a Wednesday night, but you say, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm that I have that inheritance of righteousness. Would you lift your hand up and let me pray for you? I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you. I wouldn't call your name if I do know it. You'd say, preacher, would you pray for me? Would anybody at all lift your hand? Spiritual inheritance, do you have one? As she continues to play, if you're watching on live stream and you'd like someone to pray with you, there's a couple of ways. 423-477-3311 is our telephone number. 423-477-3311 or prayer at brbc.us. Just the word prayer at brbc.us. Whether you're listening right here in the auditorium or you're watching online, my friend, I'm asking you the probing question. Do you have the spiritual inheritance of salvation? If you do, rejoice. If you don't, please be sure tonight you receive it. I can't tell you how to receive an inheritance from a rich uncle, as I joked about earlier, but I can tell you how to receive the spiritual inheritance from Christ. You simply ask, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is no difference between Jew, Greek, or any other classification. He's rich unto all that call unto Him. And He will grant you the inheritance of righteousness, the inheritance of salvation. Now, Father, it's our prayer that you would bless. I pray that everybody in this room and everybody watching, dear Lord, is saved and they know it. Lord, that may be a stretch, and if there are some that aren't, dear Lord, I pray they would take care of it before they pillow their head tonight. And Lord, bless us that are saved to have a pep in our step, dear Lord. If we can't physically, at least we can spiritually, knowing that I'm seen as righteous because of my spiritual inheritance given by Christ when I got saved. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. May look this way. Thank you so much for being in church tonight. It's a joy to get to be here. And more than you know, it's wonderful to see folks sitting in the pews. And we're thankful for the Bible study. And I trust that you'll join us again next week. Lord willing, we'll continue and finish out this with the second half of our spiritual inheritance. And I trust that it's a blessing to you as well. But I want you to do me a favor. If there are people that you know that don't usually attend, even before 9 weeks ago, 10 weeks ago, I'm asking you to invite If they're of the health condition that they're not worried and they're in a good category, then invite them to be with you on Sunday. If they're a little worried or afraid of that, then invite them to be online. I promise you what's going to happen, there's going to be some folks that hear about Brother Ouellette after he's gone. And then they'll say, oh, you should have heard that guy. And then they'll go back and they'll hear him online, but it's just not the same as being in church. So I'm asking you to do some thinking, praying, looking to see, okay, who should I remind to be in church Sunday? And if you would all take that as a task, you will not be disappointed. And they won't be disappointed. Brother Ouellette is a wonderful speaker. You're going to enjoy him. And I'm trusting the Lord to do great things through him. So please do me that favor. Think about who you can text or message or just call. And tell them to don't forget 8:30 or 11 Sunday morning. And then Sunday night, 6:30. Thank you for being in church tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed.